Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.
You are listening to The Kendall Doyle Show, right here on Bashani Radio app. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.
We have MJ, better known as Michael Clark. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Fine. MJ is a entrepreneur who has turned his skills into one of the littest business in the city. It's called Cozy Cuts, and it's a place for every man to get the best fade in town. It's all over social media. And you can't go anywhere without hearing about it. From what I heard, it's not your normal barber experience. So I want to thank you for coming on with me today.
Thank you.
I like what you have on. What's that? What's that shirt?
This is Bait.
Bait?
Yeah.
And what's on when you're on your feet?
Oh, these are just some Forces.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. So, Cozy Cuts, let's get right into it. I want to start knowing, what is that? Like, where did that arrive? Where did that derive from? The name, the brand, all of it.
Before I started cutting hair seriously, I was part of like a promotional team. We promoted parties, different events, stuff like that. It was called Cozy. So one day I cut my homeboy Cal hair, or Santana, and he got out the chair. He was like, "Oh yeah, that's a Cozy Cut." And we just stuck with that name from then on. It turned out good.
So where did you learn how to cut hair?
So my dad was a barber. My dad used to cut hair back when I was younger. And then as I got into high school, I was cutting a little bit more. Then when I got to college, I was cutting my teammates and stuff like that. So I pretty much taught myself.
Taught yourself how to do it, right? And so I know you from high school. Mm-hmm. And you were a pretty good football player. Mm-hmm. And you got a full scholarship to SMU football. Which, I don't know if you had dreams of going to the NFL or not.
A little bit.
Yeah, but that's something that was really big and major for you. You was at SMU. So, how did you say, what happened to where you was like, okay, I want to be a full-time barber?
So, to be honest with you, I really didn't even want to be a barber. I was still playing. I ended up tearing my labrum like 3 times in 1 year. So, when I tore my labrum the first time, I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to get past this. The second and third time, I end up having nerve damage in my left arm, like going all the way down to my hand.
Wow.
So, I wasn't able to play anymore, and I ended up getting medically disqualified. After that, I kind of wanted to be a teacher. Then I realized I don't really like teaching. So cutting was the next best thing for me.
Okay. So, Cozy Cuts is your project that you've taken on, and it's more than just, I know it's more than just what you're doing now. You want to turn this into a big business one day. So, tell me your game plan for Cozy Cuts. Like, where will we see this 5 years from now?
Well, so, Cozy Cuts is like my personal brand. I just opened up a barbershop and hair salon downtown called Blend Studios.
Wow.
So, yeah, we got the downtown location. In the next couple of years, I plan on trying to do another location, maybe in Houston or even Austin, too. And then taking it as far as, like, I really want to be in Atlanta. Like, I don't plan on being in Dallas in the next 5 to 10 years. So, if I could take it there, that'd be major, too. But, yeah, I'm trying to do online classes, cutting classes, all of that stuff.
So, you have several businesses, like several salons, and you said it's also women are there too.
Yeah, so I have 6 hair salons, 2 makeup artists, and 2 nail techs working for me right now too, as long as and then 5 other barbers also that's in the barbershop side.
Okay, so Cozy Cuts, if a client comes into your establishment, what is so different about this? Like, because this is ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
So what's so different about this? Because, I mean, there's so many neighborhood barbershops, and don't nobody talk about that. They just go in and get a haircut.
Yeah.
So why does all over social media, everybody just loves MJ and the Cozy Cuts. Like, what tell me the experience that one may get if they go into your
chair. So it kind of stems from social media. So when I was playing football, I was able to gain a lot of followers on Twitter and Instagram through my recruiting process. So I kind of took that into my cutting deal. So now when I'm posting a client or something, a lot of dudes be saying they're getting a lot of DMs from ladies. They just want to be seen on my page, stuff like that. And also, like, I'm not in a regular type barbershop. I cut in a high rise. So I'm cutting in a high rise type building. You got the view of downtown while you're getting cut. Mm. We serving drinks. You can get your liquor. You get anything you need. It got a cool look to it. Then on top of that, you're going to get a fresh fade. Like, I tell anybody, it's a lot of barbers who can cut out here, but it's not a lot of barbers that's going to market their cuts in a way that I can.
Right.
So, like, I'm young. I'm 22, so a lot of these older barbers might not know what we like. Like, you know, we want that crisp edge up. We want everything to be basically the Instagram type haircut. And that's what I'm going to give them every time.
Do you give them facials too?
Yeah. So like, I do the facials. I do the face mask. I'm putting in the beard oil. Like, I'm actually working on my own line of products right now to be able to do the beard and to put in the hair also. So, yeah, I do it all. It's a one-stop shop.
So, you like the male Madam C.J. Walker.
Yeah, something like that.
So, you said that social media was a very vital source for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you explain to me, like, how can someone, like, come off of Twitter? Like, why is Twitter such a necessary resource for you?
So, for me, I saw a lot of barbers marketing on Instagram and what I realized, a lot of barbers marketed towards other barbers. So they saying words and things that your regular clients wouldn't even know what you're talking about. So I kind of did a little differently. Like, it might sound weird, but I started marketing my haircuts towards women. Because I know dudes, like, you get a haircut, you want the girls to see you. So
somebody told me that they market toward women.
You got to market towards women. Yeah. So when I did that, and, like, I got the women, they retweeted my posts and stuff. And, oh, if my dude don't get no cozy cut, like, I can't mess with him, stuff like that. So now it's making the dudes be like, oh, I got to go to him if I want the girls. And I just take and run with it.
Right. Okay, so, MJ, I want to know, because you told me, you said that your plan kind of went off on a different path when you hurt yourself. So can you give any advice for somebody who might have, they had a plan, but it kind of like went off because of some, you know, unforeseen circumstances. Mm. Any advice for that person who want to start over and like keep going?
Yeah, the best thing I can say to do is, you know, just follow your passion. Just trust in God and follow what you really want to do. When I first started cutting, you know, I was cutting like $5 a piece, not really making too much money, but I was seeing other people doing it and seeing how much money they were making. So I'm like, man, I can get to that one day. And it happened a little faster for me just because I had the clientele already at my school. So I was able to cut a lot of heads. But for anybody that's in that situation, you know, just trust the process. Like, it's not going to come overnight. I know a lot of people, they give up on stuff fast if it's not working. You know, you just got to keep pushing, keep it going. Yeah.
And, like, even with, like, that's great advice, and that could be for anything. Like, even with me and my show, like, just be consistent, mm-hmm. keep putting it out there, and you're going to get your viewers, you're going to get your clientele, you're going to get everything. So, I thank you for coming on with me today,
yeah.
MJ.
Anytime.
Thank you, and I wish you the best of luck with Cozy Cuts. Next, we will have Chastity King with us today discussing toxic relationships and her experiences with them. Thank you. And we'll be right back on the Kendall Doyle Show. Stay tuned.
Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.
You look so pretty.
Thank you. So do you.
Love your hair.
Thank you.
Very Whitney Houston of you.
Oh, God.
But we see every day on social media, the word isn't new, but we see it every day. The word is toxic. And the dictionary definition of this word is causing unpleasant feelings, harmful, and malicious. So, let's start. We're going to talk about toxic relationships with Chastity today and your experiences with it. And we're just all going to, like, give, we're going to all, like, tune in on what you're saying, like, give our feedback.
Right.
So, let's start with the various types of toxic relationships. Like, it can be a toxic relationship romantically with your partner. It can be one within your family. Mm-hmm. It can be one within, like, your job or workplace. Right. There's several toxic relationships. So would you mind sharing with me an experience of one of those?
Yeah, I experienced several toxic, like, relationships in different forms, platonic, romantic, family, you know, mother to daughter, you know, sister to sister. But one specifically that impacted me when I was younger was friendships. I had a lot of toxic friendships. Like, wow. I was, yeah, like, didn't realize, like, or couldn't see people's true intentions, and they had ill ones. So, yeah.
Ill intentions.
Right.
Okay, like, so give me an example of some ill intentions, because we want people to, you know, compare or relate to you, like, what she might have went through, I may have went through that, so right. Tell me, like, give me something.
An example of someone having ill, sneaky intentions,
yeah.
You know, just being your friend or, like, being around you, and this could be of the opposite sex also, just someone being around you just to, like, I don't know, kind of, like, eat off of your plate. Take a little bit of what you have, you know, try to embody your characteristics, you know. Ooh, real toxic type, narcissistic type stuff.
What about you, MJ? Out of all of those different ones, there has been, like, with romance and family or friendships, have you ever experienced anything that you care to share?
Yeah, I think I've experienced a few of all of them, specifically romantic ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've definitely been toxic. But, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. Yeah. So when we talk about toxic relationships, you can go through forms of abuse.
Right.
And it can be verbal or it can be physical.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that one is worse than the other?
No. Any form of abuse is bad. Like, it's like how no sin is greater than the other and no abuse is greater than the other. Like, mental abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, all of it is wrong.
Mental.
Yeah. It's it's like a form of manipulation. You can really gaslight somebody to the point of, like, you know.
Because I know of this saying, like, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me.
That's not true.
That's not true. That's not true. We've heard that before several times, but that's not true. Because words really hurt.
They're powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I experienced that too. Harsh things, you don't forget things people say to you. It's like, no, sticks and stones, everything hurts when it's like ill intent. It's gonna hurt.
So when we talk about toxic relationships, we sometimes we are in toxic relationships and we don't even know that we're in toxic relationships.
Facts.
So what are some emotions that maybe you have went through, Chastity or MJ, that will let a person know, okay, this is toxic? Like, how do they know?
How can you identify it? Well, like, one example for me romantically, I think an evident sign was just, like, being insecure. I've never been an insecure person. And if you could bring insecureness out of me, it's provoked, you know? And I didn't realize that. And that was, like, one of the first red flags. Like, if you have to doubt yourself, question him, question anything, that's a red flag. And that was a form, like, that was, like, one of the things that I noticed early on. Then that turned to a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one, you know, feeling insecure, questioning things, being in doubt, always being manipulated, always being questioned, trying to be controlled. It's little, like, slight things.
MJ, do you think going through phones is toxic?
Mm. Yeah, most definitely.
It's invasive.
I feel like it's toxic, but sometimes it's not the actual act that might be toxic. It's the fact that, like, something led up to that, to where they felt like they needed to go through the phone, or that could be the toxic part too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So a lot of people blame the other person in a relationship as to why is it toxic. But is it okay for us to like admit that maybe we are the cause of some of these things that are happening in our relationships with people, yeah. whether romantically or whoever it is. Right. Sometimes we are the ones who set this off. So is it okay for us to admit that and then try to fix it?
Yeah, that's what someone with integrity would do. Identify their problems. Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, I think that's, yeah, I think that's very important.
I had a cousin and it was really toxic, but the only reason why it was toxic to like, we get into it every 2 days.
Right.
But the only reason why I could say that I kept coming back and kept allowing us to like have a relationship is because I knew that she wasn't the only toxic person.
Right.
So if you know that you are a part of the problem as well, if you try to fix it, maybe is there hope for that relationship?
Yeah, I feel like that's unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that can be toxic too, though.
What do you mean?
Even like, let's say if you go back to like a romantic relationship or even family member relationship, the toxic part can be that you're steady trying to, like in your head, you think, oh, it can get better. So I know like if you're in a relationship with somebody and you can see the red flags, but the toxic part in that is, oh, well, they're going to do better. They're going to do better. So you keep coming back hoping for better when the whole time is just toxic.
But I'm not talking about them doing better. I'm talking about you as in yourself. Like, is it okay for you to see that you're the one that has a problem too? They not the only ones that's provoking and doing all this toxic stuff to you. You also have an issue. And, okay, let me fix it.
Yeah.
Is it okay for... Because if you try to fix... If you don't worry about or hold that person accountable, you just fix yourself.
Mm.
That's all you can do at the end of the day is fix yourself. Maybe there's hope. No?
That's true. I mean, you still got to... You got to hope the other person is thinking the same, too. Because if you can say, I'm in the wrong, well, you got to make sure that they can say they're in the wrong, too, and come to an agreement that y'all both in the wrong.
Right. Chastity, when do you let go in a toxic relationship?
That's up to you. Like, it's a journey. Because 10 times out of 10, you're in it to, like, you're not going to come out of it the same person. Mm-hmm. So it's an evolution for sure. But it's up to you, like, if you want to stay for 6 years and then one day decide I had enough, you're not wrong for that. You just got to, it's all about your strength and what your boundaries and what you stand for. You can decide enough was enough from the first time he or she like did some ill stuff, or you may be the person to give them 50 chances. But as long as you eventually walk away and, you know, choose yourself, yeah, I don't know. It's up to you. It's like your own journey.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have like some deal breakers to where it's like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. Now.
What are those deal breakers?
I'm going to let you go first.
A simple way to put it is, you know, make me real comfortable. If you can't make me comfortable, that's a deal breaker.
If they can't make you comfortable.
Yeah, you have to make me comfortable. Like, I don't want to deal with anyone I have to question or doubt. I need to be comfortable. If you don't do that, that's a deal breaker.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
What about you, MJ? You have some deal breakers? Yeah. Like, and I'm not just talking about with a relation, like with not
family members too.
I'm talking about family. Generalized. Like, you guys have deal breakers where it's like, bro, I cannot mess with you no more.
Yeah, I got a 2-strike rule. Like, I'm not, I cut anybody
not even
off.
3?
Nah, even family members. Like, I got cousins, I see them and not even speak. But it's just that I can't waste energy. Like, I got places I'm trying to be and things I'm trying to do, so I don't have time for anything toxic in my life right now.
Mm-hmm. Romantically, I feel like my deal breaker is a third person. I'm not gonna do the third party.
Like an affair or like a one-night stand type thing? Like, could you deal with
definitely
cheating?
I could deal with, you know what?
Ooh, don't say
what? I could deal with... If I really feel like that you are, if you're showing remorse that you really didn't mean to mess up and do that,
mm-hmm.
especially like if I get married and I have kids and stuff, like, okay, But like an affair, like you yeah, that's love too much. This girl.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's
it for me. Like, pack your stuff and get out.
See, I can't Facts. Deal with the cheating.
Yeah.
But that's with men. Why with men? Like, y'all with men.
Can cheat.
Y'all can cheat, but if she cheat, it's over with.
Even like, that, though, I low-key don't. If I cheat and get caught, I low-key don't even want you to take me back because I know it's going to be some problems after that. Like, you're really? Going to be going through my phone and I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be a lot of extra. I might as well just leave.
Hey, you got a little cold heart on you, MJ.
I mean, it's just real. Like, you're not going to trust me after that.
Right.
Yeah, it's just going to be stressful.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys, the main goal of this show, every time I do it, I always want the viewers to leave with words of encouragement, with some advice. I want to educate them. I want to inform them. I want to help them on whatever they're going through. So do you guys, each of you, and me as well, I want to end the show by giving advice or words of encouragement to someone who is currently in a toxic relationship or currently dealing, you know,
right.
with toxicity.
Right.
Chastity, would you like to?
Just stay strong. Understand, like, the grass is, you know, some on the other side, the grass is greener. Hey, I really don't know. You know, just stay strong, hey, and get out as soon as you can, shorty. He ain't worth it.
Sometimes it can be the girl, too.
Right. Well, you know, some people just not worth it. Leave. Especially if you young. Go live. For
live
real.
Live your life. Right?
Demon time. Mm-hmm.
Demon time. What right. about you, MJ?
Hey, I was going to say the same. Like, just identify the signs and then ask yourself, is it worth it or not? Like, if it's not worth it, then go ahead, get out of there. If you think it's worth it, then don't listen to what other people are saying and continue to do what you think is right. Other than that, you know, just try your best to make it untoxic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say, I got this off of Why Did I Get Married, but I would say I weigh the good and bad.
I was thinking of that yeah. list.
That list. When she's like, Marcus, I weigh the good and bad of a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, whether it's your mother, your father, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, is it more good to them than bad?
But what if the like one bad thing is like unbearable?
Oh yeah, then please believe yeah, go.
Right.
Please believe go. Like, seriously. But like I said with that cousin, when I waited out, it's a lot of good times.
Mm-hmm.
And that bad over time with matureness on both parts can be fixed.
It dies down.
Yes, it can be fixed. With that relationship, it be toxic, sure enough. But if I weigh it out, good or bad, it could be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So
you a Sagittarius, you real loyal.
I'm very loyal.
Yeah, you got that.
I'm
like,
very loyal.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because when you're dealing with another Sagittarius, they kind of don't see that.
Mm.
It's crazy.
It's like, wow.
But, yeah. But, I just want you to know my advice and my words of encouragement to anyone who's dealing with a toxic relationship is weigh out the good and bad.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if she or he, or whoever the person may be, if the good outweighs the bad, you hold on to it because that might be something special. You never know. But if the bad outweighs the good, oh, run. Get run away, there. Love.
Yeah, seriously. For real.
But I want to thank you guys for coming on my show today. MJ, I enjoyed having you.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Chastity, I enjoyed having you. I hope that we saved hairlines.
Yeah,
and I
for
hope
sure.
that we saved relationships. And I hope that you enjoyed the show.
Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.